Oh, wasn't that great, huh? If your picture, if you know of a vet in our service that's not on that presentation, please let Ron Talbot. Ron, would you stand up? Come on. Ron put this all together for us. He is the brains behind that, and thank you very much. And thank you for Pastor Steve and Ron for putting together such a great tribute to our veterans this morning. And you know, we live in a free land that was not free, right? And it was paid for with the sacrifices of so many people. And today, we are grateful to be standing on the shoulders of those dear people. You know, we have been asking ourselves, how do we win a war? Our veterans went to fight for wars on planet Earth that were in the past. Today, we are fighting a culture war. And we are asking ourselves, as the three men sang a song to us this morning, saying, we are soldiers again. How can we be good soldiers in helping turn hearts toward heaven in the midst of the world in which we live, where we see good is called bad and bad is called good, and we feel like it's impossible and we don't know how to change it or how to affect it? And yet, my friends, I believe there are ways we can do it. Because the Apostle Peter wrote to the early Christians scattered abroad. And we've looked at some of the tactics that he shared with them. Things like, you know, be amazing. You know, stand out in your walk with God. We talked about tasting that the Lord is good. Being a growing person who is regularly changing and being transformed by the grace of God in your life. Today, I would like to talk to you about the church, about how even though there is armed forces that are serving in the world today to bring peace, I believe that as we heard from our three men, there is a mighty army of God called the church that God wants to use in this day and age to make a difference in culture, difference in families, and difference in the hearts of individuals. The problem is that people look at the church and as I heard an old black Southern preacher say, they say pew, you know, when they see the church. Because they look at the church and they say to themselves, why would I go there? You know, what would be the benefit? I mean, the definition of church to many people is a boring man giving a boring talk to a boring group of people. And they look at that and they say, is there any value for me? Or like on Veterans Day, the little boy and the father walked into the foyer of the church and all these names were on this plaque on the wall. And the little boy said, Daddy, what are those names for? He says, Son, those are men and women who died in the service. And he said, was it 8:30 or 11 o'clock? One church in Oklahoma, the young pastor struggled so much, he had a funeral for the church. He advertised in the paper, our church has died. And the funeral be held Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. He had more people for the funeral of the church than he'd ever had before. And he had a casket with flowers at the front. And at the end of the service, in a good Southern tradition, he opened the casket for people to come and have a last viewing of the body. Well, when they came forward, there was a mirror there. My friends, we are the church. And if we don't, by God's grace, make it happen, the world doesn't know what is out there. The mission of community church is this. The mission of community church is to become a community of grace where people will receive, live, and share the love of Jesus Christ. We want to be such an outstanding community of grace where people out there can walk in here and receive the love of Christ, come to know Him, to grow, to know how to live for Him, and to be empowered and equipped by His grace to go out and serve Him in all that they do. You know, my friends, I am convinced that if we are the church, if we are the people that God has called us to be, then we can be like a mighty army that makes a difference in this world, that makes a difference in our community, that makes a difference in our families. Because, you know, we can't do it by ourselves. We need each other. And together, The sum is greater than the parts, and we can make a difference beyond our dreams. Today, I want to convince you that the church is a place where you can stand. And if you have a firm foundation, and if we give you a place to stand, then you, by God's grace, can change your world. Well, what does the church look like? Well, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, he talks about the church in a very unique way. He's talking primarily to a Jewish audience. Many of the people there that had believed in Christ at the beginning were Jewish people. And he says here, this passage, he says, you are building a spiritual house. He says, they're chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. God has made the church to be something special, a light in the world like Israel was in old. If you go back to the book of Exodus, you will see that in Exodus chapter 19, I think it is, where Israel was commissioned to be a kingdom of priests. Not just the priests, but everybody. They were to be a light to the Gentiles, to declare to them as a holy nation that there is a God in heaven. Watch how we worship him. Watch how we celebrate him. Watch how he blesses our lives. And just as he blesses us, if you turn to him, he can bless you as well. Now, the church, in my opinion, has not replaced Israel. But now the church has an opportunity to be the role that Israel was in the old days. We have the opportunity, as Jesus said, to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, to proclaim the grace of God. In fact, here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. He says, you as a church, get out there and let your light so shine by the way you talk, by the things you do, that even the pagans, even though they make fun of you, even though they sneer at you on television, even though they make fun of you as comedians, let them know that in spite of their insults, there is a God in heaven, and you will not change who we are. In fact, we are going to do such marvelous things by God's grace before you that one day we hope when Christ returns, you will see it, you will know him, and you will believe in him. My friends, the church is the mightiest thing that God has on planet Earth today, and you are part of the church. Why is that so critical? Well, because the church has several components. If you look at this passage, it has a foundation. He says here, for in Scripture it says, I lay a stone in Zion. In fact, he calls it in that passage a living stone, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And anyone who trusts in him will never, ever be put to shame. The church of Jesus Christ is built today upon what Peter refers to as the living stone. Now, the living stone that's an oxymoron, right? Do you see many stones alive, you know? No, we put them in our gardens and we make little fake river streams out of them, but they are deader than a doornail. They are hard as, excuse the pun, a rock. And yet Jesus is the foundation, and he's referred to here as the living stone. You know, and the Greek scholars tell us here that the language that is used here is of a cut stone that is prepared to be the cornerstone upon which the rest of the building would be aligned and find its foundation. You know, I look at that passage and I say, wow, he says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Do you realize that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you became part of this spiritual thing he is building, and that it is a sure deal? It's the only sure bet on planet Earth because you have a foundation here that is made of Jesus Christ. And the stone then was not like a commemorative plaque that we put in a building today. It wasn't a keystone that they would use for an arch. It was actually a stone that they would plant. And based upon that major cornerstone, they would align the building and what they were going to do. And you know, Jesus has called us to align ourselves with him. Align ourselves with the foundation, the Savior of our souls. How do we do that? Well, the scriptures, Peter says in chapter 1, he says, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field, but the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. You know, my friends, we align ourselves with the word of God. When we do that, we are building our lives upon the foundation of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done. Do you realize that there is nothing that you can face that you can't stand before? Because you have a foundation that is sure. You have a foundation where you can never be shaken. You have a foundation that is firm. Oh, I love the story of David and Goliath. And David is sent by his dad to go out and feed his brothers in the army. And he takes his bread and his grain and he goes out there and looks on the hillside and this giant comes down named Goliath. And he says, why should all of you waste your lives and come out here and fight us? Just send one man out. And if this one man comes out and if he defeats me, we will serve you guys. But if I defeat him, then my goodness, you can come and serve us and worship our gods. Well, David, he came, heard all that, and turned to his brothers and says, why don't you guys go out there and fight the guy? And they said, oh, he's big. He's a giant, you know. And they turned to David and said, David, go home. Tend your sheep. David goes in to see King Saul. And King Saul said, you're just a kid. He says, man, when I was tending my sheep, a bear and a lion both came out, and I killed them both. I can deal with this guy. He said, well, okay, if you insist. He said, but wear my armor. Well, he put his armor. Man, he clunked around it, and he couldn't wear it. And he says, nope. He said, I can't do that. And he went down to the brook and got 5 smooth stones. You know the story. And a slingshot. And the next morning when Goliath came down and he beat his chest and he said, I am Goliath. Send someone down here to fight me. And little David came out. And David, we're told in the Bible, is a ruddy-looking guy, which probably meant he was either fair-skinned or fair-haired or maybe had red hair. My first granddaughter was redheaded. My mother was redheaded. My 2 brothers are redheaded. We love red hair. David may have been redheaded when he walked down that hill. And here this big giant looked at David and said, what am I, a dog that you come chasing at me with sticks? And David turned to him and said, you come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And today the battle belongs to him, and he will deliver you into my hands. My friends, who won that day? The one who had a foundation that could not be shaken. A foundation based upon truth that is real. One of the first tragedies I witnessed was when I was an assistant pastor. Fresh out of school, this dear family had a daughter who was electrocuted by lightning, and she lived in a bed and could not respond to anything for 7 years. They fed her through the stomach and changed her diaper for 7 years. Halfway through that time, Peggy's husband, the mother's husband, disappears in a plane accident. He's a pilot for a large coal company. They eventually found his plane in the valley of a riverbed in Kentucky. Must have gotten caught in a storm. He tried to land it, but he and all the occupants died. We went through all the grieving process, the memorial service. And it's time to go to the cemetery and say goodbye. And as we drove, Peggy and I and Susie were in the same car. And we got to the hill, and the casket was on the hill, and all the family and friends were up there waiting. But her best friend was late. And she was always late. And she said, you know, I can't go up there until my best friend gets here. And so we waited in the car for a few minutes, and there was a moment of silence. And Peggy looked up and she says, look at all those people up there. They're waiting for me to come. And they feel so sorry for me. But I'm okay. I'm okay. Why? She had a foundation. And my friends, if you have a place to stand, you can change your world. If you have a place to stand, a foundation of Jesus Christ, you can face anything that comes your way. You know, the passage goes on to say that not only do we have a foundation, but there are walls. In fact, he says we are living stones. He says the foundation is the living stone. And then he says here in verse 5, but you also, like living stones, are built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood through spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. Now what is happening? He says he is building the church upon the foundation, but the walls of this structure, this spiritual house, the church that God has today, is made up of small L living stones. Another oxymoron. You have a rock solid faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you have a solid faith. That's why you're a stone. But you are a dynamic person, a living person. And God puts us together into that wall to build this structure to the glory of God. I mean, look at us today. I mean, did we know each other a couple years ago? Many of us did not. I didn't know any of you guys about 7 years ago. But bingo, here we are. Colorado Springs, you know. I don't have enough clothes for Colorado Springs. I left them all in Canada. But you know, God brings us from Colorado Springs. He brings us from Seattle. He brings us from Ohio. He brings us from Oklahoma, from New Jersey, New York. And he brings us all together at Community Church to be living stones, to build a wall, to build an edifice to the glory of God. And you know what happens in that wall? He says we are being built together by God's grace. And the beauty of being built together is that we are able to help each other go beyond ourselves. Together, we can do more than we could do separately. As you see other people go buy a Christmas box like we did this morning. And by the way, they got to have them back today, or if you get them back, get them to Tom and Sandy Simister by tomorrow morning. But you know, we did that impact together. And the encouragement of a video of people standing in the foyer motivates us to do something that maybe we've never done before. We go beyond ourselves. And that's what God's grace is all about. We need each other. We cannot survive without each other, just like a baby cannot survive without its mother. You know, I remember my middle name is George. I was named after my grandfather, George Salzgiver from Oil City, Pennsylvania. He was a doughboy in World War I and took a bullet. And now that bullet's on a keychain that one of my cousins has. I wish I had it. I got the dog tags, but he got the bullet. His son was George Jr. George Jr. was in Indonesia in the Army during World War II. And when the war was over and George Jr., my uncle, came back, my mother said that over a long weekend, my grandfather and my uncle disappeared to some mountain retreat in western Pennsylvania. And nobody in the family knows what they talked about. But I know, I'm sure that my grandfather wanted to make sure that his son was okay after all the stuff that he had gone through. We can't do it by ourselves. We need someone else. We had a boy behind the alley in our neighborhood in Birmingham who was a classmate of my older brother, and he died. He went to Vietnam, immediately got shot and died. His dad lived in this big old house. He was divorced by himself. And a couple months later, they found him in his bathtub where he had slit his wrist. And today I look back upon that and I think he didn't have someone to help him. He wasn't part of a church family. He wasn't part of a good group of people that want to minister to him. You know, my friends, I believe that there are only two kinds of friends that we can have. There are kinds of friends that are above us spiritually, and they're reaching down and they're trying to help us and to encourage us. And then there are people below us spiritually that we're trying to guide and encourage and bless as well. And as long as I keep that relationship in line towards heaven, God will use that relationship to bless people and to bless himself. But when I dabble on the side with relationships that have no value in building the spiritual wall, I am wasting my time and I am wasting eternity. You are needed in the lives of other people to be the living stone that will bless them. You will enable people to go beyond themselves. My definition of personal leadership for me, my goal is to take people where they would not go on their own. My goal is to hold the hands of people and to take them into new ventures, into Bible study groups, into outreach opportunities, and to help them go down a path that maybe if they had never met me, they would never go. And you know, that's your definition as well. God has placed you in your home. God has placed you in your sphere of influence to so radiate your confidence in the foundation you have in Jesus Christ, to be such a living stone that you want to be built together into the lives of other people so that by God's grace, you can help them become what they want to be. When we were in Canada and we dedicated our new building, this one family came up and enjoyed the dedication service. They said, we used to go to this. Well, our kids used to go to your church. Well, the church before I got there had these buses that would go in the community and bring children to Sunday school. So these people saw it as a great Sunday morning babysitting service. And they put the kids on the bus, they'd stay at home, have their coffee, read the morning paper, and just catch up on their life. And they thought it was wonderful that their boy and their girl could go to Sunday school. And they could stay home. When we dedicated our building, when they came in for that service, their imaginations were captured about going to church again. And they started attending church. Both of them made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. And I can remember when I had the opportunity to baptize Bert. He was standing in the baptistry and he gave his testimony to the church family. He said, I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and the only regret I have is I wasted 50 years of my life. A couple years later, I was asked to take on this project for our region, for the Jesus Video Project, and to share the video with, we get churches to participate in this large campaign to share the gospel with the community by distributing these videos. Well, I said I would lead this venture for this county we had, and then I realized, man, pastoring a church, this was too much work. And so I turned to Bert and said, Bert, he owned his own business and had some time, and I said, Bert, would you oversee this for me? He said, I would love to. And I had it up to 42 churches. Under Bert's leadership, it went to almost 150 churches that participated in the campaign. And every time I would see him stand up in front of a church group or a group of pastors and share the vision of what God wants us to do as a community, I thought to myself, here was a guy that used to sit home and drink coffee and read the paper on Sunday mornings. And now he's out there being used in our community to be a living stone, to partner with other people to be a living stone, to build the testimony of Christ in our community. My friends, do you realize how powerful the grace of God is and how he can use you where you are, no matter who you think you are, to be a living stone because you have a foundation where you'll never shake? Oh, I look at that and say, Lord, give me a place to stand and I can change my world. You know, it winds up here. He says we have a foundation. We've got built a walls. But then he says we got a mission. Look down here in verse 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I love this. God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Wow. What is the mission of the church? What is the mission of the church? The mission of the church, not all the programs we operate. The mission of the church, not all the fun things we do. There used to be two neighborhood churches that argued over who had the best fried chicken. The Church of God or the Church of Christ. And they would have their dinners and brag about how great their fried chicken was. Finally, in their attention to the fried chicken, the churches started to shrink, and so they merged together and became the Church of God in Christ. But they still had their chicken dinners. And the chicken dinners became such a priority that the congregation continued to shrink until it became a restaurant. And now it's called the Church of Christ, no, Church of God in Christ Chicken House. One of my old professors, Dr. Haddon Robinson, used to tell that story to illustrate how easy it is for lose vision of what we are, to lose our mission. And what is our mission in this passage? He says here, our mission is to do what? To declare, let me read it here for you, to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his light. The mission of this church is to echo the praises of God because he has transformed us and brought us out of darkness into the light of his forgiveness, the light of his grace, the light of his hope. And my friends, the mission of our church is in word and deed to let the world know there's a bell that's ringing. And that ringing is in our souls of God's grace and what he has done for us. You know, I ask myself, how do I do that? It's simple. You say it's so simple to have an impact in the community? No. All you got to do is echo his grace. Echo praises. When you go into a restaurant, I love going into a restaurant and praying for my meal in a restaurant. Susie and I were in Atlanta's airport one day, and we were at one of those food things, getting something between flights. I looked across over by the window, and there was a little lady by herself, gotten her order, and she sat down. She prepared the table, and then in front of all these strangers, she bowed her head and thanked the Lord for her food. She was echoing praises of his grace. When somebody comes to you, says, how are you doing? Well, by the grace of God, I'm doing great. Or how's that situation in your family? How's that situation in your life? You know, God is good. We don't have all the answers yet, but we're walking down that journey, and we know that the good Lord is going to take care of us. My friends, every day, in every situation, there's an opportunity for you to give God credit. You see, people know more about God than they think. Romans chapter 1 says that they can look at creation and see his eternal power and his divine nature and the eternity of God. They can see that in creation. They know something about God. And in Romans chapter 2, it says the law of God is written upon their hearts. It's written upon their minds. Their conscience speaks to them of God's revelation. They know about God, but they need you and me, the church, to come along and to ring that bell and to echo praises to Him and let them know that no matter what happens to us, we know and we believe that there's a God in heaven and He has given us a foundation for our souls. The most powerful thing today is the church. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Not only does His word not pass away, but He talks about the church. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail because He is going to build the church. He's the foundation. We are the living stones with a mission to echo His praises. Do you believe there's power in the church? Let me tell you one last story. This man died during our worship service, and so I turned to this intern that was helping us, and I said, let's go visit this dear family after church. And we went to the home, and it was a town home. And we were both dressed in dark suits. Back then, we wore coats and ties to church. And I knock on the door, and some lady answers the door. I didn't know. And who are you? You know, we look like the Undertakers ourselves. And I said, well, I'm Ron, and this is so-and-so, and we're from the church. We've come to see our dear friend, the widow. And, well, she's too busy. She doesn't need you here. I said, well, tell her we're here. I think she'd want to see us. Well, I found out that the lady's problem is that her husband had died a year before, and God wasn't there for her husband. So she didn't want us coming into the house. Well, eventually the widow came and gave us a hug and invited us to come in, and we went upstairs to where the body was. And as we talked about John and memories of John and how his life had been changed by God's grace, I said, would you like to pray before they come and take the body away? And as we gathered around and quoted scripture and prayed and commended John to the grace of God, this lady friend exited the room, refusing to have part of that. Well, the church went through, and the church did what our church does. They love someone in need. And our church ministered to this poor lady. We had a wonderful service, a wonderful graveside event. We had a great little hospitality afterwards at the church. And afterwards, the hardest part for me as a pastor is to see that the widow or widower leave by themselves, knowing that their life is going to be totally different from here on. And our dear widow and this her best friend that was obnoxious to us were walking out the door. And as they got halfway down the foyer, her friend turned back over her shoulder and looked at me. And she came back. And she gave me a hug. And she said, thank you for blessing my friend. What she tasted was a church. She tasted a church family that has a foundation that's built of living stones that wants to echo the praises of God no matter what. Oh, my friends, give me a place to stand, the church, and I can change my world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, why you chose us, we have no idea. But, Lord, today we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the head of our church. He's the foundation, the Savior of our souls. Lord, help us as a congregation to become those living stones that bless each other and bless you as we echo your praises together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Make me a blessing today. Because we are the church, let's go into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Honor all men. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Share the gospel. Love and serve our Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. be with you all. Amen.